This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I mean, I've got to be wonderful with everything going on in the world. You know?
You know, it's one of those things where you can look at the bad side or you can look at the good side. You know, it might be a time to just kind of hunker down and get back to the things that we need to get back to instead of getting all caught up in the rat race of the day-to-day business. And maybe just kind of get back to basics a little bit. It might be a good thing.
Well, let me tell you something. People are going to get to know each other again. This is a whole thing.
That is true.
Husbands and wives are finally going to have to talk to each other. They're going to have to spend a lot of time with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said the other day that teachers are worth $1 billion.
Really?
After having their kids home for a week. And they haven't mentioned having their husbands home for a week.
Yeah.
What that could do to their life.
Yeah. That could go real bad real quick, though.
It could. But let me tell you the good thing about all this. When all this is over and we're free to roam the world again, people will spend so much money as fast as they can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
you're right.
I believe
that. I think people will, you know, they're going to want to buy and buy and buy. Now, women... Can you imagine women cannot go to the beauty shop or have their nails done?
Mm-hmm.
This is a major catastrophe.
Yeah, it is. It's a problem.
It is a real problem. I mean, women since time began have had their hair done. They get color. They get their hair cut. They get their nails done, their toes done. My gosh, when this is over, beauty shops will be so full you won't even be able to get in.
That's true. It'll be like 2 months before you can get into the beauty shop.
That's right. Because they're going to have a list as long as I am tall.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to want to get there. And their children, and you know, especially little boys, you know, we always get their hair cut, you know. Little boys can't get their hair cut.
Yeah.
So little boys are going to have long hair, I can tell you.
Little boys are going to start looking like little girls with all that long hair.
That's what I'm afraid of. Oh, my gosh.
So,
well, it is interesting, isn't it?
It is very, very interesting. And so I guess we'll see. I'm sure there's probably going to be all kinds of, I guess, side effects or things that change coming out on the other side of this than probably what we even you know, realize.
And one thing I want to mention, you know, there's such a shortage of everything. Everybody needs to go when the trucks come.
Yeah.
I've been told at Target and all these other grocery stores, they get there about 8 o'clock. You have to be there at 8 o'clock if you need tissue paper, toilet paper, and things of that nature. That's when they unload. And within 20 minutes, they're gone.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that there's a lot of lines first thing in the morning. And so you get there before the trucks get there. And I've seen people, I think it was last week, I went and stood in line first thing in the morning. I got there at like 6:30-ish.
Wow.
Yeah, they opened at 8, and the line was already to the door and around the building, around the corner of the building.
At 6:30?
At 6:30.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, and everybody, you can have things delivered. I had delivery 2 weeks ago. It didn't go real well.
Really?
Because they kept saying everything's out. They're out, and they substituted. Now, I wanted Sunkissed Diet, and they sent 7-Up.
Ooh.
And that didn't go well.
No, no.
A lot of things like that, they would just substitute.
Mm-hmm.
I got 3 dozen cookies. refrigerated cookies that you have to cook.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even order those. I mean, all I wanted was some little biscuits.
Mm.
I wanted biscuits. I didn't get biscuits. I got cookies.
See, now feel free to send those cookies this way because I love cookies and can't find them. So we could come up with like a little barter system.
That's right. I got 3 dozen cookies to cook, and I go, I didn't want cookies. I just wanted some biscuits, and they didn't have them. So whoever this guy Jacob was that was fixing my order, he said, I've just done the best I could.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave him a 1 rating. I didn't give him a 5.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and they said, oh, my gosh, you didn't give us a 5. I thought, yes, because I've got to eat all this stuff. That wasn't on my list, you know?
Now you've got to eat 12 dozen cookies.
That's right. I've got to eat all those dadgum cookies and drink 7-Up that I don't like. Now, I might could barter that away. I might could find somebody that would take that.
Yeah, you could set up a little, like a lemonade stand on the side of the street and sell the soda that you don't want.
I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Over the fence, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of distance. Plenty of distance.
Oh, yeah. You got to do it over the fence.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's been interesting, and we've got more customers right now wanting to meet with me, wanting to do something, and we're trying to get that done.
Good, and that's what this is really all about. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And your website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and people can go there and find information about past investments, money that people have made, read testimonials, see how the investment works. And so what is going on? Because, you know, we look at the stock market, we look at the jobs numbers that came out on Thursday, and unemployment, the number of people, let me see if I get this right, the number of people who have filed for unemployment benefits is up, which is understandable because places are closing down for weeks on end. You know, bartenders, restaurant workers, I would guess probably even maybe like you were talking about, like beauty salon, nail salon people, all these industries as a whole are out of work. It's not just, you know, like an individual business. It's entire industries that are out of work right now. And so they're applying for unemployment benefits. And so the things are really changing on a number of different levels. So how are things looking from your perspective? What's going on?
Well, of course, our business is still great because, you know, we're in a business that doesn't go up and down. We're not in the stock market. We're not in that high risk. And so people are coming to us and saying, you know, we don't want to be in the stock market anymore. I've had more calls this week, I think, than I've ever had. People wanting to make appointments. They want to get out of the stock market. They want to get into the life settlement business. And the ones who don't qualify, I've had 2 or 3 that didn't qualify, and they said, could we get into annuities with you? Tell us about annuities. So, you know, we have a lot of people that want to get out of the stock market. And we're talking about large numbers. The people that are coming have got $300,000 or $400,000 that they want to protect,
mm-hmm.
that they're afraid they may lose it in the stock market. And like they said, we know we've already lost some, but we don't want to lose all of it.
Yeah.
Because they all feel like it's going to keep going down for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, that could be a big, substantial loss. And people are really worried about how much they're going to lose.
And they should, because, I mean, we've talked about this for quite a while, that, you know, what does go up must come down. And so we have, I guess, not predicted is not the right word, but we've kind of seen, you know, some writing on the wall, although we didn't necessarily know it would be because of the coronavirus. But, you know, still, that's the situation that we're in. And so as a result, things have gone down, and so people are looking for other alternatives. So what makes a life settlement type of investment so much different than anything else? Because your investors are thriving in a time where many others are just, their bottom is falling out.
That's exactly right. Well, it's because this is a life insurance policy. You know, everybody has life insurance, or most everybody does. So they understand the concept of how it works. It is a life insurance policy that we're buying for someone that has stage 4 cancer. And when they've got stage 4 cancer, they need every dollar they can find. So they need to sell their life insurance policies where that they can get more medical attention. And right now it's going to be hard to get the type of medical attention they were getting because of this virus. It's going to make it really tough. But people need the money. They come to us and say, look, we need to sell our life insurance policy. It's $1 million. What can I get for it? Well, then we have to look and see all their medical. It all has to be sent to us. We have to look at every medical, every doctor. We're looking at a case right now here in Texas, and the man's got 5 different doctors.
Really? Five doctors?
He's got so many things wrong with him. And it's not a cancer case, by the way.
Really?
He came to us and said, I don't know how much time I've got, but he's got a lung disease. He's got something wrong with his skin. He's had open heart surgery 2 weeks ago. The man doesn't have a lot of time. So we've ordered all of his medical records to see how much time he really has. And so that's an unusual case because, as you know, we never look at anything but cancer. But this is an unusual case. He's got 5 or 6 major diseases, and I don't think he has a lot of time. So we're looking at that one. But usually we go to a licensed provider. The licensed provider brings us all the medical. We look at it. If we think it's good enough, if it's short enough, we're going to bid it. And when we bid it, we're looking to see how many months it is, how severe it is, and make sure it's stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell us, you know, how many years they've had the cancer, if it's a reoccurrence, if it's the first time around, and how severe it is. And usually they'll tell us it's 24 months, 17 months, you know, 3 years, you know, whatever the doctors say. So based on that is how we're going to bid it. And remember, when we do this, you own a piece of a life insurance policy. It's not like other investments. They go up and down and sideways.
The value,
you know, a life insurance
steady.
Policy, they're always going to pay the face amount. They're not ever going to ask you to take a less. They're not going to discount it. It's not going to go down when the stock market does. It doesn't ever go down.
It's not like
That's
gold.
That's why I think it's safe.
You know, because, you know, other commodities, gold and whatever, the market fluctuates the value, but a life insurance policy, the value never changes. It is what it is, and there's nothing that changes that, so it holds its value.
And it does. It holds its value throughout your investment. And you know what you're going to make up front, and you don't know that when you're in the stock market. You have no idea what you're going to make, and you don't know whether it'll go down before you get your money back.
Mm-hmm.
So with this, it's pretty solid. You know what you're going to make up front. You know what percentage. We pay 1% a month on this investment. So if it's a 24-month policy, you'll make 24%. If it's 15 months, you'll make 15%.
So,
and it doesn't matter if it comes in early, it's still the same amount. If it comes in on time, it's still the same. If it's late, you'll still make the same amount less the premiums you might have to pay.
So for somebody who's listening, and maybe they've listened before, and it's kind of maybe gone into their brain but never really thought about it, they were doing fine, and so now they're actually at a point where, ooh, I need to probably, you know, find something else to invest in. I need to find, you know, some other opportunities. And so they're actually listening to this and taking this in, you know, much more, you know, engagement than maybe they used to. So when you say something like 15-month policy or a 20-month policy, what exactly does that mean?
That means that's when they think they will pass away. They think they're going to live that length of time. They're either going to live 15 months or 20 months or whatever they think. So that's when they think that their life will be over. In other words, we call it a maturity. We think they're going to mature in 20 months or 15 months or 24 months.
So when somebody's listening to this and they're saying, okay, wait a minute, hang on. If I invest in this life insurance policy and the maturity is expected around 15 months, you're telling me that I can invest in this policy And if it comes due on time, then I will get a return on my investment in 15 months or however long the policy is, right?
That's exactly right. You get paid, and then we put the money in your account, and we do it again.
So, I think one of the things that, that, and correct me if I'm wrong because you're in the field, but I would imagine that probably one of the big draws to a life settlement is the fact that these are fairly quick turnarounds on investments, so people can turn that around, reinvest in other policies, right? Is that accurate?
That is accurate. In other words, we're not going to do a 5 or 7 year policy. Now, a lot of people do in this business. They'll do 7 years, 10 years. But ours are mostly IRAs. So these people naturally are wanting to turn the money and getting that IRA farther down the road. And if it's a husband and wife, you know, they want to make as much money as they can for later, for their retirement. I had a lot of people come and they're saying, you know, we need to get diversified out of the stock market. We're going to leave some money in, but we're not going to leave all this in there and take the risk of losing it. So they're going to put it in a life insurance policy where they know it's safer, where they know what they're going to make, when they're going to make it. It's a solid investment, and that's what everybody's looking for right now.
And so, I know that this sounds really, really, really great, and we'll kind of get into how the whole big picture works here in just a little bit, but I'm sure people are listening to this right now, and they're saying, yeah, Faye, this sounds amazing, you know, the value doesn't go down, I know basically what I'm going to get paid, I know a little bit, roughly when I'm going to get paid, so this sounds great, there's got to be a downside. What's the shoe? What hasn't dropped yet? What are the downfalls?
The downside is it could go over.
Mm.
It could go over. The doctors could be wrong. It could go 2 years, 3 years over. But your investment is still safe. Your principal isn't going anywhere. It's not like in the stock market where if it all of a sudden it could go down and you could, you know, lose a lot of money. It just means that your investment has went over, you're going to get paid a little bit longer than what you thought. But the investment is still solid because it's in a life insurance policy. So the life insurance policy, the insurance company is going to pay. Doesn't matter when they die, they will pay you the money. We're not paying you the money. The life insurance company pays you. And, you know, they've got more money than anybody in the world. So we know we'll always get our money out of that life insurance policy. We know that when the people pass away, they pay within 6 to 8 weeks, we have the money.
So you always stress a lot that you are not paying the investor. It's coming from a life insurance company. Why is that such? I mean, that is it sounds like, you know, it's like, okay, well, blah, 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 blah. But it's actually a really big point. That is a really big deal that it comes from the life insurance company instead of, you know, yourself or a bank or something like that. So why is that such a big deal?
That is the biggest deal of all, because you know that the life insurance company's got so much money, they will pay off. You're not looking for us to pay you. You're looking to the life insurance company to pay the claim, and they pay their claims. These are all A and double A rated companies. They're the biggest in the United States. So we know that when we turn in a claim, we'll get paid. We know that our people, if it's $1 million, $100,000 or $10 million, when they're called upon, they step up and they pay.
And they have all of these. They have all of the. And I know I get this wrong, so correct me if I say this the wrong way. But life insurance policies, from my understanding, life insurance companies have the reserves on hand, the actual cash on hand, in case every life insurance policy that they have were to come due at the exact same day on the exact same time. Is that right?
That's right, because they put up reserves on every policy. And then they have a certain amount of their assets that has to be funded in a way that they could always have additional money.
Hmm.
And years ago, they couldn't even own their home office. They can now, but years ago, they weren't even allowed to own the home office.
Really?
Yeah, it had to be almost all in cash. Had to be like in bonds and CDs, things like that. Now they're allowed to invest in a lot of different things. But years ago, they weren't. So a life insurance company pays their claims. That's the biggest asset of this, is that you know you're invested in a life insurance policy with a large, large life insurance company.
And so these,
so you know it's a big company. You know they'll pay their claim. And so that's what makes it safer than most investments, is you're looking at a life insurance company to pay the claim. You're not looking at us or our company to pay the claim. So that's what I like about it. And then the other thing is everything's handled at the bank. Their money, it never goes to our company. Checks are not made to us. They're made to Nevada Trust. And the trust company handles all the money.
So why is that a big deal? Because I know you stress that a lot,
that's
too.
That's a big deal. A lot of companies that are no longer in business, they were doing it all themselves. They weren't doing it through the bank like they should have been. And with us and with most companies nowadays, it's all done at the bank. The bank handles the money. We don't handle your money. The bank pays the premiums. We make sure that the we set up escrow accounts for each and every policy. So the bank pays the premium. You always know your premium will be paid that way. And then the bank, again, when the person passes away, the bank gets a certified death certificate. They send it to the insurance company. The insurance company writes one check to the bank, and then the bank puts it in everybody's account.
So people
so
can.
That's what I think makes it such a streamlined, safe investment. It's because it's helped with the bank and the insurance company.
Which is a huge deal, because it makes a big difference when people are, you know, because we're talking about a lot of money here. And so
we're talking about, you know, lots of times their biggest investment they've got.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big deal.
So we want it protected. We want it as safe as we can get it.
People can rest assured that there is not a guy in the back room someplace with a visor and an adding machine going through
right.
everything.
Like we see in the movies. No, we don't let that happen. We do not have Dr. Clouseau. You know, the guy in the Pink Panther. We do not have him.
Oh boy. All right, so how does the investment work when people come in and they invest and they say, okay, Faye, I'm going to invest in this, and I'm just making up numbers here, I'm going to invest in this 15-month policy, I'm really ready to go, we're talking about the $100,000 investment, I'm going to put this in, but you said that what if the policy goes over, we may have to pay premiums, and we may get paid a little bit later. So what does that actually translate to as far as any kind of profit margins or anything like that? What does that
well,
do?
Well, it's like this. It could be $1,000 a year. It could be $2,000 a year, or it might be $100 a year. But they know it in advance. Everything is on what used to be page 14. It's now about five pages from the end on every contract. It tells you who the person is you're investing, the face amount of the policy, what you're going to make, what your investment is, and if it goes over, what the percentage is and what it costs. So you always know all this up front in advance.
So what if somebody's
it's
listening right now?
It's never a surprise.
And they say, okay, Faye, say my profit margin is, and I'm just making up numbers here, say my profit margin is $20,000. And I've got to pay premiums for a policy that goes over. Golly, that's going to eat away my entire profit. What do you say to that person?
In most cases, your money is not going to ever be eaten up. it might be $1,000 off of it a year, so you might spend $3,000.
To make
it's not going to take all your profit up.
Exactly. So if your profit margin is $20,000 and you have to spend, you know, $2,000 or $3,000 on premiums because the policy goes over, you're still looking at like $17,000 or even $18,000 in this.
That's
example.
Right. And we remember we still have those two old policies. So now, other than those, and when I say it's not going to eat it all up, those two old policies that we've been talking about that were old people. Now, those may not have much profit, but the rest of them have a lot of profit.
Yeah, and you stopped doing those quite a while ago, right?
5 years ago, whatever. 5 years at least. We've been waiting on these. We've got it down to two policies.
Well, good. Well, that's progress.
That's right. Remember, we had six of them to start with.
Yeah.
and we've narrowed them down. We've only got two left.
Well, good.
But we do not do old people anymore. We do not do seniors 85, 95 years old. We got burned bad. We learned our lesson, and we've never done it since. The company that sold us those should be very, very ashamed of themselves for selling us those old people.
Oh, boy.
Oh, me. But, yes, the premiums are not going to hurt you. They're not going to hurt your investment. And you can go online and look up and see every policy that's matured in the last two or three years. You can see what we made, what the clients made, what the percentage was, if it was on time or if it was late. We give all that information online on the website.
Cool. So we went into quite a bit of information as far as risk number one with the policy may go over. There's two other risks. What's the second biggest one?
The second biggest risk is your money is not in cash, and most people know that. If you put your money in a policy, it stays in the policy till maturity. So it's not liquid during that time. It becomes liquid when it matures and we put it back in your account. The money always goes back to your account every time a policy matures.
Mm. Okay. That's important. And risk number three?
Risk number three is if a life insurance company ever went under. And we have never had one go under in Texas. We have not had one nationally in years because people always buy them.
Okay.
Because of the premium income. Their income is so tremendous. If you and I had that income, we would never, ever have a blank Friday, let me tell you. It just wouldn't happen. Because the income is so tremendous.
So I guess when people sit here and they say, oh, man, you know, we see the economy, we see, you know, all these things that are happening and businesses are closing and things like that, they don't have to worry about that with a life insurance company. It's not even a thing.
It's not even a possibility. Life insurance companies are the most stable things we have in America.
Maybe like one of the last stable things we have.
It probably is one of the last things because, remember, it doesn't matter what happened, people are sending their premium income into the life companies every month. So they do have a tremendous income.
So,
and, of course, you know, in the life settlement industry, it's just we have policies maturing all the time. So people's income, you know, every year is increasing.
So how do we get to a point where you have policies? I mean, how does it go from, you know, you're hanging out in your office on a random Wednesday, and then all of a sudden you've got policies for people to invest in? How do you bridge that gap? Where do these policies come from?
They come from the licensed providers are sending us policies all the time. And right now we're closing on about $3 million in policies. Now the $2 million policy, it's already went to the bank. It's ready to close. The $1 million policy is coming next, and then we've got some small policies, like $100,000 that we're looking at, that we're bidding on, that we have not closed yet. But we've got $3 million in closing right now.
Wow.
So, you know, everybody else does not have this ability right now. We have policies that we're closing. So our people will be making money even during this bad time. That's the good thing about it, is people are in policies, they're making money, they're waiting for maturities. That's the good thing, is our maturities are going to come no matter what happens in the stock market or the economy or people are staying home. These policies are still working. Doesn't matter about that. Doesn't matter if you can't go to work, you know, that you're having to work from home. It will not matter. These policies are going to mature no matter what.
So,
because they have cancer, it's stage four. You can't back it back out when you've got stage four.
If somebody's saying, well, you know, this is great, I understand, but, you know, the economy is so strange right now. You know, the whole world is living in weird times. So how would something like what's going on right now affect policy availability, or does it? Is there any?
Well, so far it hasn't. We don't know. I think we will probably get more policies, and I could be wrong. We may get a lot less. But we're looking at a lot of policies right now to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking at about three this week, in addition to the $3 million that we're trying to get closed.
Mm-hmm. I know that because we see reports on the news all the time about how, you know, if you have symptoms of the coronavirus, you know, there's times you're supposed to go to the doctor, sometimes you're not. There's talk all over the news about, you know, availability of hospital beds, things like that. And, you know, there are certain, like, elective surgeries right now are temporarily on hold because of medical facility availability. So how would, and it may not be anything, you may not even know, this is just kind of a weird question, but how would something like that, like the situation we're in as far as availability of medical facilities, how would that affect people diagnosed with stage 4 cancer? Are they still able to go in and get, you know, the treatments that they need, or have those also been kind of put on hold?
I think that they're having a harder time, and they're very afraid for them to be around anybody, because if they get the virus, they certainly will not survive.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what everybody's worried about, of them surviving with cancer, if they're even near anybody that has this. They do not think they will survive because their immune system is down so far.
Yeah, it's in a highly weakened state.
They're in a very weakened state. They're very sick. And I think that we're probably going to have a lot more maturities than we had planned for this year.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just wondering, you know, if maybe you may get, and this is just a wild theory, but I'm wondering if, you know, maybe people may not be able to get in for their treatments and things like that.
That's
and
right.
And all that.
I don't think they all will be, because the hospitals are overrun.
Yeah.
Hospitals are overrun, as you know. So we're going to have to wait and see if the cancer patients are going to be able to go in for treatment, or if it's all going to be delayed. I think it will be delayed. I think a lot of them will not be able to go in for treatment.
Yeah, and that would affect, or it could affect policy availability. If people can't get in, things progress, and then they may just say, you know, look, we're just gonna throw in the towel. We'll sell the policy. And whatever, you know, they do. So it could affect things. I don't know. I mean,
I think it will. We're going to have to wait and see. But I think that the people who are really sick, I don't think they're going to be able to get in, because the hospitals are full, and they don't want them to go to the hospitals for treatment and be exposed to those people with the virus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't want to expose them, you know, when they're already in a weakened state.
That is true. We're living in very different times. These are uncharted waters, and so we'll just, I guess, see what happens. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage.
Throw that in there.
On that note.
All right. Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, we're going to talk about Athens, Texas. Now, Athens, Texas, over in East Texas, is famous for a couple of things. They're the Black Eyed Pea capital of Texas, which is real important. And they had, and this is debatable now, but everybody says they had the first hamburger in the United States.
Really?
Yes. They're supposed to be the first, very first hamburger capital of Texas for the United States. Now, it was kind of controversial, you know. A lot of people said they weren't first. In fact, there was a reporter, which is pretty funny, back in 2006 and 8 when they were going to do this down at the Capitol, you know, make it the official that they are the hamburger capital of the United States, the first one. This reporter was down there. He kept saying, I need an appointment with the governor. I need an appointment with this committee. I need an appointment. And nobody would listen to him. He was going to tell them that that Athens, Texas wasn't even here when all this happened. He didn't believe it. Athens, Texas was established in 1846.
All right.
It was 4 months after Texas was annexed by the United States.
Hmm.
And it's named after J. Pinckney Henderson. He was the first governor of Texas.
Really?
And Addison was established then in 1850 as a county seat. So they incorporated in 1902. And it was named by a stepdaughter of one of the founding fathers. His name was Doucette Averetta. And he had a vision that Athens would become the culture center of the county. And it was named in honor of Athens, Greece.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah. And E.J. Thompson, the county clerk, is the first citizen of Athens, Texas.
Really? There's an actual first citizen?
The actual first guy. Well, Athens, you know, is about 75 miles east of Dallas. It has lots and lots of trees. It's a very beautiful place. It has rolling hills. 32% of it's all forest.
Really? I didn't know that.
And yes, and it's a farming community. But let me tell you something. They have more millionaires there than most places in Texas.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The millionaires that were born and raised there, I could name them off. There's probably 20 guys that became famous that are from Athens, Texas.
I would have never guessed that. Of all the places to pick, that is not what where I would have ever guessed in a million years.
It is. One of our former governors is from there. A lot of the, I didn't even think to name all the people, but there's about 20 guys from Athens that became very, very rich. Now that Athens also has a private club down there that all these guys from Dallas belong to. They built this club years ago. They've improved it. It's got hunting, it's got fishing, and it is for the very wealthy. The membership is staggering what it costs to belong there.
It sounds like fun, very luxurious and fun.
It is a fun place, and if you're wealthy, you know, it works out very well. And of course, you know, this was taken to the World's Fair, you know. And of course, the guy that started it, and they say his name, was Uncle Fletcher Davis. And in 1880, he had a small cafe in downtown. He made the first sandwich.
Mm.
And he took it to the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis and introduced it. Now, McDonald's University has given the historic evidence, their stamp of approval. And that was in 2006, a bill was introduced into the Texas legislature to make Athens, Texas, the original home of the hamburger.
That's awesome.
It is. Now, Hamburg, Germany, they say is really where the first hamburger was really made. Hamburg, Germany.
Well, I'm.
And the story goes, there was this young guy, he's 25 years old, and he took these cargo ships and made them into ocean liners, and they didn't have anything to eat. And he supposedly made something he called a hamburger and served it on those first ships coming to America.
Really?
Yes. And he called it a hamburger, but the first ones didn't have bread or anything like that.
So that's not a hamburger.
That's what we say, that it wasn't a real hamburger. And there was people in New York and Connecticut, all these people, said they had the first hamburgers. But again, theirs didn't even have bread.
Yeah, see, that's not, you have to have a hamburger, you have to have bread, a bun, you have to have probably some cheese and some other condiments on top.
You gotta have tomatoes, you gotta have onions, you gotta have pickles.
Yeah.
And in Athens, Texas, they did it right.
Yeah,
they came up with it. Then they took it to the World's Fair and said, look here, look what we've got.
So,
and can you imagine, 1880, he had a small cafe on the square in Athens, and Uncle Fletcher made the first hamburgers as we know them.
So how about we make a deal with Germany? We say, okay, Germany invented the, quote, hamburger, but in Athens, Texas, we created the proper hamburger. Huh?
That's right. We made the one that's real.
Yeah, the real
they
hamburger.
They just made a half of a hamburger.
They made a ball of meat. That's all it was.
That's right. And even the ones in New York and all those people that tried to say they made the first one, they weren't making them like we do today.
No.
Or like Uncle Fletch did.
Mm-mm.
You know? And so I'm proud of Athens, Texas, making the first hamburger. They were made there. They started in Texas. And I believe them, even though that reporter was trying to get it thrown out in 2006 down there.
He had evidence to say otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, can you believe he's trying to get in to see everybody? Nobody would see him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with it. He kept telling them, this isn't right. It isn't right. I've got the dates. Well, he was crazy. And nobody wanted to hear from him.
No. None of the good people did anyway.
No, the good people didn't. We know a hamburger. We know where it was made.
Yeah.
You know, so much good happened in Texas. You can never put a Texan down.
No.
You know, they're smarter than anyone else. And they're very inventive here.
Yes.
You know, look at all the things that people in Texas have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked about so many things over the last several years that I would say probably most of us had no idea.
That's right. People just don't know what all Texans have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how smart they really are.
Yeah, and how much on the forefront of so many different things.
That's right. Remember the Fritos? We did that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things in little bitty kitchens that people have done.
Yeah.
You know, and then like the artists in Texas, they started out in little barns and little garages, and some of the best painters in the world are right here in Texas.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth. And, you know, and that's really, I guess, kind of the great thing is that a lot of times, you know, we look at these things that people have created or invented or come up with or ideas that they've had, and they usually start in just a small kitchen, you know, like you say, or, you know, maybe in somebody's bedroom or in their garage or whatever the case is. They don't necessarily have, you know, these huge corporations with all this money. It's just they're trying to solve a problem. They're trying to make something better. They're trying to create something. And they may just start out saying, hey, this is neat. This is fun. And then, you know, the right person sees it and it starts to catch on, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you've taken this one little thing that somebody just happened to put together, and then all of a sudden it's a big deal, and it's, you know, known either nationwide or around the world or whatever.
That's right. Look at Michael Dell. You know, his parents thought he was in college every day. He was out there making computers, building computers in his dorm room.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we've got all these brilliant people that it happened in their garages. It didn't happen in some big factory, you know. They just young people thinking of things. And look at Mrs. Baird's, what she did.
Yeah.
You know, she had a horse and buggy, and she was making little old deliveries just up down the street, and her little boys were helping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best of the best, all these people that started in Texas that really did something important.
It is. It's great when simple people come up with simple ideas, and it's great to see them catch on, and you know, people can really make a difference and change the way people, you know, live their day-to-day lives. I mean, imagine if the guy in Athens, Texas had not created a proper hamburger, we wouldn't have drive-thrus, we wouldn't have, you know, McDonald's, we wouldn't have, you know, fast food.
We wouldn't even have Whataburger.
We wouldn't have Whataburger. Exactly.
I mean, you know, there's important things in life.
Yes.
And all these things, like you say, a lot of this started like in Athens, Texas. And black-eyed peas, my gosh, they grow so many black-eyed peas there. You know, they have a black-eyed pea festival every year.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because it's so famous there.
You know, it's. I guess it's just one of those other things. It's like the list of things to do and places to go. The bucket list is getting bigger and bigger every single time we talk, you know? There's so many places
exactly
to see.
That's right. There's more things to see and visit in Texas than any place. A person could stay right here and spend 5 years looking at all the things we have.
And still not see everything.
No, I don't think you could.
Yeah.
And look at all the the parks that we've talked about. Our parks have got some of the most amazing things in the world.
Yeah, and there's so many different types, too, because, you know, they have so many different climates and so many different types of terrain. You know, you could go to different areas and see something completely different and never leave the state.
That's exactly right. And kids could learn so much going with their parents to just all the things you could see here.
Yeah, yeah. It really is something. It's special.
It is special. Texas is the most special place in the world.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And people act different here? Did you know about that? We could do a whole series on how people act in Texas.
Maybe we should. We should start the How People Act in Texas series with Faye Bagby.
That's right. Because, you know, they're warm-hearted. They help their neighbors. You know, they're just good people. That's all there is to it.
That's the truth right there. Absolutely. This
yes,
is your
and
money.
Other states, they don't act the same way.
No, they don't. They don't. And so there's another reason not to leave. You know?
That's right. Don't leave Texas.
No. Especially right now. Don't go anywhere right now.
That's right. Right now, stay home.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Let's talk just for a second about the type of person who might be interested in a life settlement type of investment, because we're talking about, you know, this is a different type of thing. This is not something for somebody who's down to their last $5 and they're saying, man, you know, we've hit on hard times. We got to, you know, try something and let's do something to turn things around. It's not like you take your last $5 and go play the lottery or anything like that and hope for the best. This is an actual investment. And so there's a certain type of people you have to be accredited to do a life settlement. So what would the typical investor look like?
A typical investor with us, they're going to make either $200,000 a year or they're going to have $1 million in assets. Now, a gentleman that I talked to this week, he's a farmer. He wasn't sure of his assets, and he didn't know how to do this. And I said, well, what you do, you add up, you know, your farm equipment, your cattle or horses, whatever you know, have, your 401k, if you have one, money in the bank, all these things, add them up. Add up your oil checks per month. You know, if you've got oil checks coming in, add those up. Add all this up and see what you're worth. And I was sure he was worth $1 million. But I wanted him to go back and add it all up and make sure. But that's what to be accredited, you have to make either the $200,000. Or if you're retired, you've got to be worth $1 million.
So does it change if people want to go in maybe as a team, like a husband, wife, or maybe like a family, maybe some parents and a child or two? Is that a thing, or is that how would that work?
Do what?
If you're going to go in like, you know, for one person to be accredited, you're going down those. But if say maybe a husband and a wife wanted to go in together.
Okay, a husband and wife. They would have to make $300,000 between the two of them, or still their assets together, $1 million.
Do you find that people start to bring in other family members as well? You know, so say you've
they
got
always do. We have lots and lots of people that do have families.
Is that a good idea, or do you kind of shy away from something like that?
No, we love when they bring their family in. And usually, when somebody comes in, they'll say, I want my son to come in or my daughter. They may be qualified, or maybe they're not. They may have to go into annuities. And they'll tell me that up front. They'll say, you know, my children are qualified. You know, they have their own company. They make a lot of money. Or, you know, they're not qualified, and they'll have to go into annuities. They usually tell me that up front. That they'll say, I would like for my son or my daughter to come in.
Okay. So if somebody's looking at this and they're saying, okay, Faye, this is great, but I'm really interested, but I'm not accredited. So what would you recommend for somebody like that?
I would recommend annuities. Annuities will get them out of the stock market. It'll get them as solid as anything in the world. I love annuities. I have a lot of people in annuities. I was just thinking the other day, how many people I have in annuities that's been with me 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
and it's paid them good money. I've never had a complaint on these annuities. Everybody likes them. They pay well. You can use annuity the rest of your life. An annuity never goes down. A fixed annuity will not lose value. I've never had a fixed annuity go down. They don't go down. They guarantee your principal from the day you put it in to the day you take it out. That principal is always going to be there. It's not like in the stock market where it goes down. So annuities are safe. You can take 10% a year out of your annuity the rest of your life. You can draw on this forever. That's what I like. It'll give you income, and, of course, it's tax-deferred till you take it out. So it'll grow faster tax-deferred.
For somebody who's not accredited, would it be a wise path to go ahead and start with like an annuity, grow your wealth, then maybe that would be enough to get you to the part where you're accredited, and then go ahead and switch over to life settlements? Is that a path?
Yes. And then and some people, if they're nearing retirement or are retired, they may want to stay in an annuity, you know, or they may want to put half their money in an annuity and half in a life settlement. Even if they're qualified, they may want to do it that way. And we always give them that option. How do you want to do it? Do you want to do it this way, or do you want to do it the other way?
Mm-hmm. And the whole point of all this is to grow people's wealth so that they can retire happy, wealthy, and early if they want to. So I guess let's take just a quick second and take a look at the big picture, because when we're planning for retirement, it's not the kind of thing where you would come in, invest in one thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, 5 minutes later, you're ready to retire and, you know, you're free to go. This is something that people would do over, you know, a long period of time, right? Not a long period of time, but how long should somebody plan on doing something like this?
Well, I would think they're going to do it 7-8 years at least, maybe longer. Even if they retire, we've got a lot of people who've retired this year and last year, and we keep a certain amount of money, and we distribute that every year to them, and then they invest the rest. But they keep money in their account, like maybe $200,000, $100,000 at all times. And then they say, okay, I need a draw, and they'll take a check for maybe $50,000 or $100,000. And then the next year they take another. So we have to keep cash in their accounts once they retire for them to live on.
And this
so
is
we
the,
do that.
It's a kind of it's a kind of investment where people can go, because we talk all the time about how, you know, this is great to lead up to retirement so that you're ready to retire. But I would imagine probably with something this conservative and this appealing, I guess, and this profitable for so many people, I would imagine that probably the investment, a life settlement, will get people to retirement, but then I would imagine they would probably keep investing and keep going after they retire. Do a lot of people do that?
Yes, most people do because they're happy with it. They like the way it works. They like the income they're getting, so they do go ahead and do it that way.
So if somebody says, well, Faye, you know, this is fantastic, but man, I waited too long, you know, I stuck it out in the stock market too long, I you know, the first, you know, 50 years of my life, I've been just, you know, blowing all my money in cars and trucks and boats and houses and trips and traveling and all this and that and the other thing, and I haven't taken this seriously, I'm already behind the eight ball. What do you say to somebody like that?
Well, if you're 80 years old, yes, it's too late. I mean, you know, but if you're 50 years old, 60 years old, 65 or 70, you're right in there. It's not too late. You're in good shape. If you're 70, you've just now retired. You've got money to invest. It's just perfect. If you're 45 years old, 50 years old, you've got a lot of time left. It's perfect time to invest. So I'm not worried about those ages. It's the 80 and 85 year olds. It's too late.
So, you kind of touched on something here. You say you sometimes have people who are 65 or 70 who have already retired that start the investment then. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, a lot of people start at 70 because they've just retired. It's just the perfect time.
Wow. I don't think we've ever talked about that before.
If you're 70, you just retired, you've got all this money, and you're trying to make a decision where to keep it, where to leave it. It's a perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. And so when people are looking at this, and I think just before you go real quick, I want to touch on the fact that, you know, when you are 70, people think, oh, my goodness, you know, this is, I don't want to, you know, lose everything. I don't want to have to go back to work, you know, by doing something like this. And the fact that people are investing in stage four cancer life insurance policies, that is what makes this, I guess, the cornerstone of the entire investment. Because stage four cancer, we know that it's expensive. We know that people a lot of times want to sell their policy so that they can afford treatments, chemo and whatever else the doctors recommend. And so we also know that the numbers are there, that stage four cancer policies generally don't last a long time. We know that it's deadly. We know the numbers. And so is that what makes it, I guess, such a great investment for people? Am I saying this the right way?
That's what I think, yes. That's what I believe.
Okay. Because what would you say? Stage 4 cancer is very expensive to treat. $100,000 a month?
It's $100,000 a month at least. And right now it's going to get even worse because I don't even know if they're going to be able to get treatment.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about that because, you know, the hospitals are full of these other patients, and you don't want them to get the disease. So I don't know if they would even be safe going for treatment with this virus around. You know, I just don't know how that would work.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
And, of course, as you know, we're very close with UT Southwest, and they're giving us information all the time.
Mm-hmm. And so people need to they need that quick influx of cash so they sell their policy for that to happen.
That's right.
You've got to be there.
That's the best thing they can do. Get the cash, get the money, and let's see what they can get done.
So it does help somebody who is diagnosed with cancer. It helps them. It helps people, you know, who want to grow their money for retirement and things like that. So it does help really, I guess, both parties on both sides of the fence, right?
Yes, it does. It helps everybody.
Okay. Now, what are we looking
at? It helps the people that really need the money, and it helps our investors because they're looking to us to get the policies for them, to get the best we can where they can make money.
So what about policy availability in the next several weeks?
I think there will be availability. We're taking appointments now for the 15th of April.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're going to take that Wednesday. We're starting on Wednesday, April 15th.
Okay. All right.
So we'll be available for April 15th all that week and forward. But that will be the first availability.
Okay. So in the next couple of weeks, what should people do to get ready to come see you? Or should they just walk in the door?
Put all their things together, everything they want to talk to me about, their portfolio, whatever we're going to do. Put it together, make that appointment, get the appointment, be sure you can get in April 15th,
yeah.
And we'll see them then.
Sounds like it's a busy time.
It's a very busy time for us.
All right. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to call to make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.